With the 36th pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select T.J. Yeldon, running back, Alabama.
He's a really good back in the SEC that played in a pro-style offense, and we just felt like that he wouldn't last to the third round. And sure enough, you know, we got texts after from a few teams that saying, hey, we were going to take him in the second round. And so let's not risk it if we felt like that we can get a guy that could come in and make a difference for us.
Shotgun for Bortles. Yeldon, the running back, dropping. Bortles looks, pump fakes. Pump fakes again, rolls left now. Gets away from the defender, fires to the back of the end zone. That is going to be caught for the touchdown. T.J. Yeldon in the back of the end zone, and Jacksonville has taken the lead. Yeldon, the running back, on third and short. To give to T.J. He's hitting the line of scrimmage. He broke free. Inside the 20-yard line. Inside the 10-yard line. T.J. Yeldon reaching for the goal line. Touchdown, Jacksonville. T.J. Yeldon, second and third effort for the score.
Wow. What a great individual run, but also a great job of the guys up front staying on blocks, because T.J. bounced to his right, nothing was there, bounced back to his left, and nobody was coming free for the Buffalo Bills, and T.J. Yeldon took it to the house.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Super Wednesday to you from Jaguars Today, brought to you by Metro Rooter. Every Wednesday, live at Everbank. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Tony, not to sidetrack the whole show, although I'm always open to doing it, Jeff Prosser talking about Wilt going for 100, which is probably the most remarkable thing. I want to say, you know, Wilt, who was never a great free throw shooter, hit something like 32 or 36 from the line in that game, which is absolutely remarkable. Needed all of those to get to 100. Have you ever been to, like, a really historical sporting event? You know what I mean? Like, have you ever been to something like, you know, a no-hitter or anything above that level that is a game that people would look back and say, oh, yeah, I remember that?
No, I was close one time.
You were close to going?
Or? Well, no. I was close to being in a stadium when something like one of those numbers or one of those things happened. I was in Atlanta, drove up there for an Atlanta-Cincinnati game when King Griffey Jr. was sitting on 599, and he hit 3 to the warning track that day.
Okay.
Yeah, so I could have been there to witness King Griffey Jr.'s 600th home run, which would have been cool, but I've never seen a no-hitter. I would love to. That would obviously be awesome, but nothing like that, no.
Yeah, I've seen a one-hitter before in AA, calling Suns games, and I remember Chad Godin threw a perfect game. I think it was against the Suns back in, might have been 2001, but that was a playoff game. For whatever reason, I wasn't working that game, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was a playoff
game. Was it here
game.
Or on the road?
I'm not sure, because everything, the whole schedule got thrown off because of 9/11, right? Remember, this all happened at the time. In fact, that might have been the year. It might have been an earlier level of playoffs, because I think they had co-champions that year. They might have canceled the championship round. J.P. Shattuck's giving me the nod over there. J.P. Shattuck, throw a mic on for J.P. Shattuck. You got your mic on?
Can you hear me now?
We hear you beautifully. What's up? How are you, man?
Great. How you guys?
We work.
I saw Tony all week at the combine.
Yeah.
Literally, we're an office away, and I speak three words to you every month.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you, though.
Oh, there's JP. Hurry.
Oh, I know you're here, though.
Those are my three things that I say. You recall that? Was that the...
That was before I was there, but that was 2001. I think it was Huntsville and Mobile, I believe, split.
That split the title?
Yeah.
And,
boy. There was another year or two that Hurricanes caused a split title also.
I think that's the Suns got a... I think the Suns got a split title in the early 2000s.
Maybe
I don't
like
know.
Like 03? No. It wasn't 03.
I'm drawing on faulty memories right here now. How was your experience at the combine?
It was lovely. Thank you.
Did you like it?
It's always fun, man. Everybody's in that room. And it's like we were talking about Tony on the road up there.
Yeah.
It's 4 or 5 days of straight football talk.
Right.
There's no somebody plugging a
no
book.
No one's hawking a product.
There's no right. hawking products. There's no swag bags of crap. It's straight football. No, I'm dead, of course.
Greatest thing ever.
I know you're sensitive to the swag bag. So, it's 4 or 5 days of straight football, and that's what's fun about it.
Absolutely. Good. Who impressed you? Who do you want right now? If you are, what is your personal wish list? 1, 2, 3. That would be available to the Jags, not knowing what they're going to do in free agency yet.
Bosa.
Bosa number one.
Because he's fantastic on the podium.
Okay. Oh, good. Because you like that from a media perspective, right?
I mean, so cold.
We appreciate that for the pregame show.
Sharp. Very sharp, okay. It seemed like.
So Bosa won. Miles... Can he play at all, Bosa? Does it matter?
Sure. Can he? I don't know.
All right, all right. Bosa, Miles Jack.
Miles Jack. Fantastic on the podium.
He's kind of good become player. A Jaguars Today player.
Yeah,
sure.
I know Tony's in love
guy,
with him now.
Yeah.
He keeps calling him my guy.
It's my guy.
He said that during the press conference, too. He said, hey, got my guy.
Share.
Okay. How do you feel about being my guy?
Is Ramsey number three for you, or do you have another?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
No?
On Ramsey. I didn't see him play enough to know. So,
okay. Well, who would be number three right now? A'Shaun Robinson? Come on, it's got to be
Reggie Ragland.
I was actually surprised, though. Right? A'Shaun Robinson actually spoke at the podium.
Is he a quiet
He professed
sort?
That he didn't really hate the media. He was just saying that before the game because they were all talking trash.
I see.
He just wanted to shut up and play.
It's pretty popular these days to blame everything on the media.
So I'll go with two right now, and I'll hold off on my third. A little early. Because free agency's next week. That could change everything.
It is early, and it certainly could. But let me ask you what I asked Jeff Prosser a minute ago. Is there a player they could sign in free agency that would take a player off the board for them? In other words, if they were to get Olivier Vernon, for instance, or Mario Williams or whomever, does that – take Bosa out of the equation? If they were to sign
Weddle.
A veteran like Weddle, would that take Ramsey out of the equation? Do you think that's the case?
Maybe, yeah. If you're drafting at five and you have your starting free safety, you're not going to draft a free safety at five, right?
But what if you envision playing at corner for a few years, which is typically a more valuable position than ultimately maybe having the flexibility to, you know, slide him over?
Is he better than what you got at corner now?
I think so. I do.
Yeah.
You know, so... That would be the question.
House, Colvin, and then throw him in there and then
figure
it out.
I think you've been talking about House and Ramsey and Colvin being your nickel, and you play a lot of nickel anyway. So, but you're a Miles Jack. Where does Miles Jack play for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
On the field.
I got you, but you got to figure out a way to
throw him between the white lines.
I understand, but give me
let him run.
You play? Does he play middle? Does he play in all the sub packages?
I think he's a tremendous guy
covering receivers.
Yeah, I think he's outside probably that. That I don't know if he's a straight up auto guy,
he's
but throw
him
out there,
out
let
there
him run,
one of your three
and then on passing downs, put him in the middle,
slide him on,
let him run, get Puzz off the field.
Sounds like a plan.
Hey, we got it all figured out right here.
JP Shatter.
You guys have it all figured out.
We don't.
If you ever want to talk Southern League baseball again, let me know.
We'll do just that with JP Shatter, former voice of your Jacksonville Suns. All right, there he goes back to his. What netherworld that he has over there. I'm not sure what goes on. Tony, probably the best sporting event that I've ever been to, come to think of it. Probably been to a couple of the best, more competitive Super Bowls anyway. I guess the most significant sporting event, probably the Giants beating the undefeated Patriots in, what would that have been, Super Bowl 46?
42.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah.
Are you serious? I guess it
At
was.
At least, yeah.
Wow, 2007.
Yeah.
Yikes, that's a ways back. All right, today, fan feedback question today. We just threw his name out there a moment ago to J.P. Shadrick. Mario Williams is free. He's free. He's not free. He's expensive, but he is free to sign.
He'll be far from free.
Correct, Mundo. But Mario Williams, as expected, got released from the Buffalo Bills. Three highly productive seasons with the Bills after signing a big money contract this year. Felt he was miscast, griped about it, so you've got that issue to deal with. At least one of his teammates anonymously after the season said he basically dogged it and quit on us. He is still a very talented guy, still only 31 years old, and probably more at home in a 4-3 defense than a 3-4 defense. So the question of the day today, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, is this. Should the Jags put on the full court press? Should they go all out to sign Mario Williams? You can sign him immediately. You can sign him today if you want to. You don't have to wait for the start of free agency if you're a veteran player with time still left on your contract.
That'd be nice.
Should they go out and do that? Right? A little early gift to the Jaguar fans in free agency. There you go. Huntsville, Jacksonville were the split on with the September 11th. I thought that was the case back in the day. J.P. Shatter giving us some crack research right there. Birmingham, Carolina, Mobile and Tennessee split because of the hurricane, and then once again the Jacksonville Suns. Tony, that book ended my time with the Suns. Dual championships. I got a ring at the house. It's very nice. Thank you, Peter Brady Jr. Appreciate that. All right. You know what? Maybe that's some of the most significant sporting events I've attended in person. Anyway, weigh in today on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony. Mario Williams, full court press. Do you not like the questions about his attitude? What if it precluded the Jags from then sinking big money into a guy like Olivier Vernon? What are your thoughts on Mario Williams and how hard the Jags should or should not go after him as part of this process? It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Phone lines open to you at 641-1010. That's also the text line if you want to hop on board and talk Jaguar and or NFL football. It's all out in front of you. Jaguars today, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at EverBank on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Cutler sacked Mario Williams.
Well, he's trying to make his case for the Pro Bowl right now. 10.5 sacks on the season now. 6.5 in the past 5 games here, and he is really getting it done.
Mario Williams, can he get it done in a Jaguar uniform? Will the Jaguars express interest? We love to use the expression, kick the tires, check a guy out, find out what makes him tick. I'm interested in Mario Williams. I don't know if the Jags are.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I'd be on the phone with his agent the second he was released. I would have been tampering like crazy in Indianapolis, Tony, saying, hey, we know you're getting released next week. Do not do anything crazy and sign with some other team before we get a chance to overspend on you.
Right. I'm curious what kind of money Mario Williams is going to get, because he was one of those guys who signed a $100 million contract
right
when he went to Buffalo.
Made a good chunk of it.
And I actually wrote about this a little bit on my show Facebook page yesterday, just the idea of Mario Williams as soon as he got released. And the two questions that you have to ask yourself is, what is the price point with Mario? And I think the other big question would be scheme, and to a lesser degree, 31 years old. I get that he wasn't happy in Buffalo last year. He got 5 sacks, wasn't happy with what he was being asked to do. But 31 years old, is it in part that his skills are starting to diminish a little bit too?
He's a year removed from 14.5 sacks.
Oh, I know. So my answer to that in my own head is probably not.
I don't think there may be some degree of that, but
right,
I think it's a small degree.
And I don't. Again, I think it's the money. How much are you going to have to pay to get Mario Williams here? Because I got no problem with Mario Williams in a Jaguars uniform. And as far as where he fits on that defensive line, I don't care.
Let me ask you this. If you've got a case of Olivier Vernon, I'm not saying you wouldn't prefer to have Olivier Vernon, right? But you don't know. You can bring Mario Williams in. If you get him in the building and you sign him, he's yours, right? Olivier Vernon, first you got to woo him. You got to court him. You got to wait till next week. And then even if he agrees to sign with you, you got to sit around for another week to figure out if the Dolphins are going to match it. Now, he's scheduled to make $12.7 million on the transition tag this year. So figure that as a starting point for his annual salary. Probably going to be north of that, right? Because why are you going to take anything less if you're Olivier Vernon? All you have to do is sign the franchise tender and get a guaranteed $12.7 this year. So if Mario Williams was willing to do a 3-year, $30 million contract.
Yes.
$10 million, right? Me too. Don't have to think that much about it, right?
No.
I take that chance. I mean, look, I get it. It's not my money. By the way, Shaq Khan's got plenty of it. If you haven't seen the Forbes list out today, Paul Allen is the richest NFL owner with over $17 million. You may have heard of Microsoft. He made some money off of Microsoft.
Oh, really?
Yeah, didn't make it all in the National Football League. Then you had Stephen Ross. What is Stephen Ross's moneymaker?
I don't know.
I got no idea. No idea. He's got over $12 billion. Then you've got
probably not the Dolphins.
I wouldn't think so.
No.
Then you got Kroenke with $7.7. That'll be fascinating to watch, right? Kroenke's net worth, $7.7 billion right now. Move the team out to Los Angeles. How soon before his net worth is over $10 billion? I don't think it's going to be long at all. Because Shad Khan, Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, I want to say the Shad Khan's net worth when he bought the Jaguars is somewhere just north of $3 billion. Does that sound about right to you?
Sounds right, yeah.
So between $3 and $4 billion, something like that?
Yeah.
Forbes estimates his net worth, Shad Khan's right now, at $5.9 billion, making him the fourth richest owner in the National Football League. He's got more money than Jerry.
Duval.
You got that right, all right? You got more money than Daniel Snyder. You got more money than all of the rest of those guys. Not combined, but you got you got plenty of cash, and I get it. You're not spending your personal money. You're a business, and you've got to, you know, maintain a certain level. But I'd be splashing some of that salary cap room around like nobody's business, man. I would go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Save just enough. I'll hold back $30 million or whatever you feel like we need to get some of those guys done on long-term deals and still have some cap flexibility next year. But I would be splashing that cash like a crazy man, and Mario Williams would already be in the building right now. Or either that, or he'd have no interest in signing here, because I would have made my intentions very clear with that guy. But you know what I mean? I mean, that's the thing. You know, Olivier Vernon, I know yesterday you said you think somebody's going to be able to front-load a deal.
I do.
It doesn't necessarily mean it'll be the Jags, you know what I mean? Even if they try to do that.
No, because there's a lot of teams. And if you read any of the message boards for any other teams, if you go read what's going on, it's every team that has any kind of money is saying Vernon's their guy. Vernon's their guy.
Well, he's 26.
Right. And honestly, it's a lot of the same guys being talked about. If you go to a bunch of other teams and what they want to get done in free agency, their list is going to be something that reads along the lines of Olivier Vernon, Eric Weddle, and Malik Jackson. Like, that's what every fan base wants right now that has money. Everybody wants it. The question is, who's going to be willing to pay the money to go get those guys? The odds that you're going to be the team that pays enough money to get Olivier Vernon and Malik Jackson seems unlikely to me. The Jags are in a position where they could. They have enough money that they could. But I don't necessarily expect them to, because I do think somebody else is going to spend some of that money too. I think the New York Giants are going to be heavy on Mario Williams. I mean, heavy on Mario Williams. It looks like they're letting JPP walk. Their other leading pass rusher is Robert Ayers. He's 31 years old. He's hitting free agency too. They don't have anybody to rush the passer right now in New York. And they've seen that formula work up close and personal with the New York Giants. And they got $65 million in cap space this offseason to go spend. So I would expect them to be heavy on Mario Williams. They're another one of those teams that could front-load a deal to go get Olivier Vernon if they want to just spend more than Miami could be able to spend to keep that guy. But there's a handful of teams that are in that kind of position. The Jags are one of them.
Does Mario Williams fit what the Jags want to do defensively? And I understand the whole you need to fit your scheme to your players, but that's what they say. But if you're selecting players to come in, you're looking for players that fit your scheme, right? And then when you get them, if you say, well, you know, this strength isn't what I thought it was, you've got to adjust to the players that you've got. I think he could, but I think it would almost be a waste. I would rather see him line up as a traditional 4-3 left defensive end.
That's kind of what he is.
Right. I don't need to play him on the right side.
No.
I can play Dante Fowler over there and have him be my designated pass rusher. I can even draft Joey Bosa and figure out how to work all these guys in. But, you know, the Red Bryant role, I think it's easier to refer to it as that, here in this defense, has been, let's see if that end can take up two blockers, right? He's kind of a glorified defensive tackle. If he can give you a little pass rush, that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know if, now, Jared Odrick's making a pretty penny.
Odrick is, and that's the question that you have to ask. When you talk about scheme with Mario Williams, that's the question is, where are you going to be playing him?
Right.
And are you going to let him do what he wants to do? If he's going to be a baby about not being allowed to do what he wants to do in Buffalo last year, are you going to bring him in here and say, look, we want you to play left defensive end in our system, which is more of a run-stopping defensive end spot, and you can get after the passer if you can, right? Basically from that position. It's a plus if you can get after the passer from that position. Is Mario going to be okay with that?
That's something that you answer before he ever signs on the dotted line.
That's why I don't know where the Jaguars stand on it. And when you're talking about scheme fit for the guys that are hitting free agency, Olivier Vernon is a Leo, right? Like, he is a Leo. He can come in and be that position. Malik Jackson is a three. Like, he can just, they fit. What the Jaguars are doing on their defense, those two guys fit. And you don't have to think about it. They have their spot. It makes sense for both those guys to come in here and be Jaguars. Mario, it's where do we put him and what are we going to let him do?
All right, if you're signing Olivier Vernon to be a Leo, what is Dante Fowler? Also a Leo?
Leo.
You're playing two Leos? You're playing, I mean, he's your third overall pick. Don't you want him on the field as much as humanly possible?
Sure.
So how do you work that out?
I play both of them.
Where?
Leo spot. It's going to be a rotational basis at that Leo spot. And on third down, they're both going to be on the field.
That's the thing, right? I need 75% participation for my third overall pick or my high-ticket free agent guy, right? At least that's the way I'm thinking.
You have to spend the money to get that guy, and if that's the best guy available to you to bring him in and do that, I don't particularly care how much it costs if I feel like he improves my roster. Like, because I got the money to spend, I got to spend it. And if I'm not spending it on Vernon, who am I spending it on?
I understand.
It's and I get the numbers and trying to figure out who's going to play when and where, but that'll be a discussion that we have in November when it's why isn't Vernon playing more. I know that discussion would eventually come up.
But isn't Dave Caldwell's mantra, Tony, in a large part that I don't want to overspend on what the – overspend is not the word. I don't want to vastly overspend for a guy from what I think his true value is going to be to my football team to what it's going to pay to get him. I still have to be somewhat fiscally responsible. Or do all those rules change now because the salary cap continues to go up exponentially, seemingly?
I think they changed to some degree. I don't know what that number looks like for Dave Caldwell. And I it's easy if you're going to get caught up in that kind of number that they won't spend the money they need to go get any of these guys. Because you're going to have some Derek Marks back, and he's going to play the same position as Malik Jackson, right? And Roy Miller had a great season last year, so you don't really want to pull him off the field. You may want to spell him a little bit more, but you don't want to pull him off the field. So are you not going to spend the $12, $13 million to go get Malik Jackson either?
I think I could play Malik Jackson at more positions.
Maybe.
I do. I think I could play him at the Red Bryant spot. I think he's big enough, strong enough to do that. I think I can move him
inside. But you spend a lot of money on Audric, too.
I understand, but you know what you're – did you get the kind of production you'd expect to get out of Malik Jackson? I think Malik Jackson is a clear upgrade from what I've seen this year anyway. Oh, it's nothing's perfect. I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate here. But I do think Malik Jackson, you would play him at more different positions. I think in a lightning package, you could have he and Sendarek Marks both on the field, right? Right now, envisioning that with Dante Fowler and maybe Ryan Davis, if they bring him back, you know, something like that.
I would love to see him sign Vernon and Jackson, but I'm not sure how much pass rush Jackson's adding. Like, I don't think he's a pass rusher. I think he's a guy who can get after the passer occasionally, but I don't look at Malik Jackson as a pass rusher.
I think he could be a Sendarek Marks type player. I think he could be a, you know, Sendarek Marks may,
maybe,
you know, eight and a half sacks may cap his upside in that department. I think Malik Jackson can be that kind of player.
Sure, and I don't think that Jared Audrick can't. Like, I think Audrick can be that type of player, too. He was close to that type of player last year. In his first year here in Jacksonville.
I just think Malik Jackson, though, would be more impactful down in, down out, in addition to just
well, he's got more of a place
numbers.
To play. Because you drafted the other guy at number three. So you're going to – but do they move Dante Fowler around at all? I don't know. Can he stand up and play auto? I don't know.
I'd like to figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to have too many good players on
and that's
the
kind
of
the position they're
football.
In. They're in a position to go spend enough money that they can have eight or nine guys that you feel like, all right, this guy's coming off the field, so what? You know, it's not Andre Branch we're running out there. It's not Clemens we're running out.
Granted,
we're running out of pass rush.
Granted, but you do still want to say, you know, like you were talking about yesterday, the Dolphins had $50 million tied up in salary cap for like three guys, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to get in that position either, I don't think, where, wow, Sendarek Marks has a big number. Roy Miller's got a new contract. Give Malik Jackson all this money. Give Vernon all this money. Then you've got Dante Fowler. You've got the money going to Audric. You know, that's a lot of money tied up in the defensive line. I'm not saying that they don't need an upgrade, to be sure. They just got to think that through as well. I think you've got to have a clear vision of how you're going to use these guys. You know, part of it, you go through the draft and you fall into a guy in the third or fourth round and you say, wow, he's too good. Let's take him now because we're on the clock and we'll figure out how to use him later. I think it's a little different in free agency. You can be a little bit more methodical. You've had months to plan and build up to this if he, in fact, makes it there, which we are hoping, at least.
Sure.
You know, I'm hoping, even if the Jags don't sign Malik Jackson, Tony, what that does is another team will allocate big ticket money to Malik Jackson. Therefore, maybe that takes him out of the bidding for Olivier Vernon or somebody else that the Jags may want. Because not everybody, well, everybody has cap space. Not everybody has $75, $80 million in cap space. So anyway, you can weigh in on that
Do you remember the contract Sendarek got, his extension?
Was it 20-ish million? For
4 years, 18. He's okay. $3.5 million
not
basically
much,
the next 2 years, so nothing.
You're right. I guess by the standards of the NFL, you think, oh, you got a nice
and what they're going to have to spend
deal.
To go get Malik Jackson.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about $12, $13 million a year right
can you
now.
Imagine
you have to
bringing
go get
a guy who's getting paid four times Sendarek Marks.
Right.
He better be good. But, I mean, I know we don't care about those things. I wonder if at some point in the locker room.
Do the players care?
You're like, man, I've been toiling away here doing my job, and I'm making this. It's a it's just the last guy to the table always gets the it's the opposite of dinner, right? Last guy to the
Absolutely.
Table here gets the biggest
Two more
piece.
Years. They got Senderic for 2 more years at $3.5 million.
And I'm glad they do. All right, you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Fan feedback question of the day, should the Jags go hard after Mario Williams? And, you know, Duval Doom said, well, does this would that disqualify them? He goes, no, I feel much better with a multi-prong approach going after several guys. Now, if he can be a part of that, but I assume all out means he wouldn't. No, to me, it means all out means, hey, look, we got $80 million, or what, let's call it 80, right? Whatever the exact figure is going to be in terms of salary cap space. Would you go all out and spend $10 to $12 million of that cap space to get Mario Williams? $10 to $12 million hit this year, right? 3-year, $30 million contract. Maybe you take 12 or 14 of that hit this year if you wanted to. Doesn't mean you can't go after all these other guys as well, but there's some aspect of the bird in hand theory working here that let's get this guy in, at least for me, if you think he's a good fit for what you want to do. And you know what? They may not for some of the reasons that we're talking about. They may feel there may be some better Leo candidates and his talent would not be best served playing the left side in this particular defense, particularly at that kind of number. So we'll see how it all goes. My gut tells me Mario Williams would not be a Jaguar, but if it were me, bring them all in. Stack them up and then figure it out as you go along. 641-1010, the number. It's also the text line number. We'll check in with that coming up. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. A Metro Rooter Wednesday on Jaguars today. Metro Rooter just put a new toilet in my house because my plumbing has had issues for a while. For all size plumbing jobs, in-home, commercial, industrial, septic systems, restaurant grease trap service, you name it, if you can think of it, and it has to do with plumbing, Metro Rooter is on the case. Same-day service, weekends included with that. The right people with the right equipment serving Jacksonville and the surrounding areas since 1978. That's how they've been successful for that long. The right people with the right equipment. MetroRooter.com is the website. Pretty easy to remember. And the number is 695-1911, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars today here on 1010XL 92.5 FM, your flagship home of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Tony, I'm going to fly the coop early today. Got an appointment to get to, but
okay.
you will entertain and enthrall us all in the second hour. I know Ogier's stopping by coming up in a minute. Let's get a couple quick peeks at the latest in mock draftery we'll go with this morning. Daniel Jeremiah threw his up there yesterday, and he's got Laremy Tunsil going number one. Daniel Jeremiah, of course, of the NFL Network and NFL.com. One of the better ones in the business.
Move the sticks. Yeah.
Move the sticks. And as Peter King reported this week, had one offer on the table and another basically let us know if you want the job as our head of scouting and it will be yours kind of advance from a team. So two teams approached him basically to head up the scouting departments this
sure.
all season. So he's well respected.
I wouldn't do it either if I was doing the job.
He's got a great
He's got a great job where you can be wrong and it doesn't matter.
Correct. Right?
Yeah. Like, people will remember the things you got wrong, but in the NFL and the scouting department, if you get it wrong, you're going to be looking for a job.
Yes, but I think, you know, if you went that route, and Daniel Jeremiah, let's say he went 3 years, you know, you'd probably get a 2 or 3 years with a club, even if you screwed up horribly. I think he'd still do okay. Maybe he'd take a hit to his credibility to some degree, but I think there's he presents it well enough. You know, it's more about how you present it.
Oh, he's
and,
good.
Right, he's very good, and he's very thoughtful, and you know, he has solid opinions, and that's why he's as respected as he is. But anyway, Laremy Tunsil going one. We've seen a ton of that. He's got Carson Wentz going number two. Says Wentz has aced the Senior Bowl and the Combine. Thought it was all about the film. All right, Carson Wentz going two.
Aced.
The Browns. Jalen Ramsey going three to the Chargers. None of this a major surprise. And then Bosa, Joey going to the Dallas Cowboys, leaving the Jaguars with my guy. Miles Jack, our guy. Can I get on that one? Our guy. He says the Jags need to get more explosive on defense, and Jack can line up at just about any position on defense. I think we're going to do this tomorrow. Who could the party crasher be? Like, one of those guys right now, unless something odd happens, right? Unless Tunsil slides, which is would be unexpected, or no quarterback goes, which as of now would be unexpected. One of those three is extremely likely to be available for the Jacksonville Jaguars with the fifth pick. And, but Who do you think could be the most likely party crasher? And we'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow in terms of a wild card that we're not discussing. Because we weren't discussing Dante Fowler that heavily at this point last year, I don't recall, right? Not at this point in the process.
I felt like he was always part of the conversation. I don't know that he was always a strong part of the conversation.
I think he was more of a fringe guy.
I remember after his pro day, it was, all right, Dante's legit.
Right.
The conversation,
but
because
that hadn't come yet.
Yeah, he mentioned specifically having talked to the Jags and wanting to be in Jacksonville, and part of that we came out and said, well, part of that's got to be he wants to be the number one pick, right? And the Jags are the first team that looks like they may be going defense in this draft, so you kind of are the number one pick behind the two quarterbacks you're assuming right now. So maybe he's campaigning a little bit, or maybe he's heard something from the Jaguars
right.
about how interested they are. I remember that was part of the conversation coming out of his pro day, which would have still been, I guess, a couple weeks from now.
Todd McShay, I heard the boys on the drill discussing this towards the end of the program. Todd McShay has updated his third mock draft. Same thing, Laremy Tunsil, Carson Wentz, top two spots. He's got DeForest Buckner, and we mentioned that yesterday talking with Dan Hicken as a guy that we think is a likely party crasher, not necessarily for the Jags, but into the top five. Outside of that group that we've been talking about.
I think the Jags may like him, too. I think he can play that left-end spot in this Jaguars
I think
defense
so,
pretty easily.
As well, Russ Landy said to us a few weeks ago, he's the director of scouting for the Alouettes up in Montreal, and said he's a perfect fit for that Red Bryant role.
I don't know how much pass rush anybody's going to get out of Buckner, but just watching him at Oregon, I didn't feel like he was much of a quarterback getter. But he certainly is big, and he is stout against the run, so he would fit that position pretty well for the Jags.
This is what Buckner they have going to the Chargers. This is what McShay said. Now, keeping in mind, they run a 3-4 there, and he says offensive tackle is certainly an option here with Phillip Rivers aging and the line continuing to struggle. But Buckner would give San Diego a much-needed scheme-versatile defender who's a disruptive force against the run. He made great strides as a pass rusher last season, finishing the Pac-12 season with 8 sacks in 9 games. At 6'7", 291, Buckner is a perfect 5-technique in a 3-4 defense, and that is what he's been described at. But Russ Landy thinks he can be a star as a that kind of elephant end, that Red Bryant, you know, hold the point of attack, provide a little bit of pass rush, have the ability to slide inside, be versatile to move along that 4-3 front as well as the 3-4 front. So he's got him going to San Diego. He's got Bosa going to the Cowboys and leaving the Jags a choice. Among others, between Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack, and he's got him going with Jalen Ramsey in this scenario, and he says the Jags have needs of both corner and safety solution. Draft Ramsey, figure out which hole you want in the plug. And he's got the lateral quickness and natural athleticism to play corner in the NFL, the frame and top-end speed and run-stuffing ability to excel at safety, and he tested off the charts and is one of the safest prospects in the draft. Do you believe that? He's one of the safest prospects in the draft? Athletically, he's one of the most brilliant prospects in the draft.
Ramsey?
Yeah. Is it?
I don't know.
What is a safe prospect, honestly?
Yeah, I don't know that there's such a thing as a safe prospect in the secondary.
I think Miles Jack is a safe prospect if outside
if
of the health concern.
Yeah.
Right, outside of the health concern. I think his game is pretty safe. And in today's NFL, he's kind of becoming the prototypical type linebacker you want to draft. Guy who can
yeah,
run.
Safe prospect is a weird word. I remember a couple years ago, when the Jags were still looking at quarterbacks, I went through and basically went through 13, 14 first rounds in the NFL draft and broke it down by position and just, the criteria for what was or wasn't a successful pick is kind of a weird
subjective
thing to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. But it was basically 50-50 at all the positions. Quarterback was basically a third successful. There were some positions where the risk was higher, but teams are more willing to basically take a shot at it because of how important the position is. Offensive line was a little more safe, but it wasn't enough safer to feel good about like saying this guy's a safe pick. There's no such thing. In the NFL draft, whenever I hear it, I'm like, that doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a safe pick. I think there are easier picks to make. Andrew Luck, number one a couple years ago, that's an easy pick to make if you're the Colts, because he is the prospect of that draft. It's a position that you clearly need. It's so important. He's such a great prospect coming out, but that doesn't make him a safe pick. It makes him the right pick.
Makes him the safer
safest
pick. Right,
right,
the safest.
But there's no such thing.
Not
100%. In my mind, I don't think there's any such thing as a safe pick. And I think offensive line feels like the safest types of picks. which is why Jokel made sense to me a couple of years ago, even if I would have gone with Ziggy Ansah. But Jokel made a lot of sense because that is a safer pick to go get the left tackle in that kind of position. Secondary, no. The athleticism and what you're asked to do at the NFL level compared to what you're asked to do at the college level is so vastly different. I don't think there's such a thing as saying this guy's a safe pick. I think he's a freak of an athlete and can play multiple positions for you in your secondary. Do I think Jalen Ramsey's going to be a successful pro? Yeah, I do, but I'm not. I wouldn't call him safe. I wouldn't call anybody in this draft safe.
No, but I do think you reach, I mean, depends on your definition of safe. Safe doesn't mean ironclad. To me, safe could mean 51% likelihood that he's not going to bust, right? I mean,
and if that was the case, I'd say Tunsil would be
right,
the guy.
Right, and I think so. In that sense, I think Andrew Luck was a safe pick based on the pedigree and, you know, everything every scout said about him is the maybe the greatest quarterback prospect since John Elway,
sure.
Not Peyton Manning.
And maybe it's about the expectations you have for the guy, draft him where you do. If you're taking Ramsey in the top five, does that mean he has to be Patrick Peterson? Because that's the guy he keeps getting compared to.
Right.
Does that mean he has to be Patrick Peterson or he's not a good pick? I don't know.
Right. I mean, Patrick Peterson, one of the handful of best cornerbacks in the league. Most people, you know, give him that title. So
yeah.
I don't think you need to be that. What if you're the 10th best corner in the league? I think that's a fine output for the 5th overall pick in the draft.
Yeah. Ramsey is a guy, his athleticism isn't going to prevent him from being a good pro. He's obviously got the athleticism that you need to play at the next level. It's, again, the other questions that you have about watching him is he a great football player? And I think there are some who still question that a little bit, but not enough to knock him down. Most people who are watching Jalen Ramsey think that he is, which is why he's being talked about where he's being talked about.
All right, coming up, you've got this date in football and the Honda drive around the NFL right around the corner. John Osier about 25 minutes away. Fat Tony's going to take the reins as I've got to dip out for an appointment today. I'll be back with you for the full 2 hours tomorrow and Friday, Tony. So have fun with that. Again, the fan feedback question today is this, and you can tweet any variety of our Twitter handles or post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Should the Jags make a major run at Mario Williams? However you want to phrase it, that's what it boils down to. Share your thoughts with us via social media, and we'll get to that at the end of the program. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, Mike Dempsey out the door. Fat Tony here with you. John Osher will join me here in about 15 minutes. We'll talk a little bit about the fan feedback question of the day with him. With Mario Williams being released yesterday, anybody can sign him at any time now as he is a completely free agent. But right now, this state in football history presented today by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry located on Gate Parkway. Today, a lot of birthdays, as there will be throughout the next couple months, probably on this date in football history. Born on this date in 1950, John Reeves, the former Florida Gators quarterback, 66 years old today. In 1962, Al Del Greco, an NFL kicker with both Houston and Tennessee. He is 18th on the all-time field goal list. Sebastian Janikowski, 11th on the all-time field goal list, including he had the 75-yard field goal attempt a couple years ago, which still gives me a chuckle every time I watch it on YouTube there with the Oakland Raiders, but born on this date in 1978. Mike Nugent, it's a field goal kind of day. As Mike Nugent, 34 years old, he's 54th on the all-time field goal list. Ben Roethlisberger, 34 today, with a couple of Super Bowl rings for him, born on this date in 1982. Reggie Bush, who we mentioned yesterday as a free agent running back that neither Mike nor I think the Jags should have much attention paid to him when it comes to free agency, but 31 years old today. Chris Rainey, of the text messages to his girlfriend, probably the most the thing that he's most noted for in his NFL career, 28 years old today. And Malcolm Butler, 26 today, born on this date in 1990. That is this date in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or if you're just in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office at 904-620-9225. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
All right, Tony, Philly gives big money to quarterback Sam Bradford, 2 years, $36 million, $26 million of that $36 million is guaranteed for Bradford. He turns 30 at the end of the deal. He threw for 3,700 yards last season, 19 touchdowns, and 14 picks. The average per year on Bradford's deal comes out to $18 million a season. That ties him with Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo for middle of the pack in the league among starters, 14th to be exact. His guarantee percentage, although, is 72% of his guaranteed money coming. That is third in the league, so Sam Bradford getting a good deal there, a short-term deal in Philly. One guy who the Jaguars could be interested in is pass rusher Mario Williams, who was released by Buffalo yesterday. Williams had three straight seasons of 10.5-plus sacks during his first three seasons there in Buffalo. The last season was a different story. He struggled just earning 5 sacks and over 900 snaps. Williams was set to count for nearly $20 million on the Bills' salary cap, but the move saves Buffalo just under $13 million, $7 million in dead money for Buffalo. Joe Banner was on Mike and Mike this morning. He is the former president of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cleveland Browns, the CEO for the Cleveland Browns, that is. And Banner talked about Mario Williams and what he thinks about him hitting the market.
I'm all over this. You know, we had a theory at the Eagles, which wasn't always right, but was right a good percentage of the time. A really good player coming off a bad year is your best value. Those guys get undervalued. By the way, your biggest mistake is not a very good player coming off a great year. So I actually think Mario Williams, you know, it was a difficult situation in Buffalo. The defense didn't play well. The whole pass rush was down. I didn't see anything that makes me think he's not still a good player. Now, is he what he was? No.
The Chiefs also applied the non-exclusive franchise tag to safety Eric Berry, and the Washington Redskins used their non-exclusive franchise tag on quarterback Kirk Cousins, so a one-year deal for Cousins, $19.95 million for a quarterback. Tony, who has never beaten a team with a winning record, 0-26 for Kirk Cousins.
He's played 26 games and never won one against one with a winning record.
Never.
It's incredible the money that gets passed out to the quarterback position. I get why Washington did what they did. You couldn't figure out a long-term extension. I was thinking about this yesterday. If I'm Kirk Cousins, I don't even think I push for a long-term contract. If I play well this year, then they have to give me the franchise tag again next year. Would I rather just play 2 years for $40 million, essentially?
Absolutely.
If I can get away with it, but again, it's the long-term security, those kind of things that you just don't know the answer to. And Sam Bradford, my gosh, has anyone gotten more for less in their NFL career? Sam Bradford has played in 63 career games now. He is 25-37-1, so he's 12 games under 500 as an NFL starter. To this point in his career, he has made $78 million cash. For those numbers, $78 million for 25 wins and 63 starts, and now he gets handed another $26 million guaranteed. I don't think he's ever going to see the full $36 million of that contract, but gets another $26 million guaranteed, so Sam Bradford will have made over $100 million in his career because he was that last draft before the numbers got brought back in line when it came to the first round of the NFL draft. So just insane numbers for Sam Bradford, for a guy who's really had no success anywhere he's gone. It looked like there was a glimmer of hope for him in St. Louis for a couple of years, but that obviously didn't pan out. His year in Philadelphia was not very good, as he goes 7-7 last year with Philadelphia as a starter, but gets handed another $26 million guaranteed. It's good work if you can get it.
Great job for Sam Bradford. Another story just coming across the wire here, Tony.
Yeah.
Adam Kaplan just tweeted, Ravens and their elite quarterback Joe Flacco have agreed in principle to a 3-year contract extension. So Joe Flacco staying in Baltimore till 2021.
Okay. And they probably have some cap crunch thing going on right now with the contract they had Flacco sign. That gives them the flexibility to push some of that money back. And for it's the old Tom Brady thing. Everyone praise Tom Brady for pushing some of that money back in his contract. He's going to get all that money. The Patriots are going to pay Tom Brady every cent of that money that he signed a contract for. It's just going to be moved around a little bit so that they can be more flexible when it comes to their cap. I know Baltimore was one of those teams that was looking to try to create some cap space. So a 3-year extension for Joe Flacco, and that makes a lot of sense for them to do that if they were having problems with that. Miami, you know, we talked about it yesterday with Olivier Vernon. They really don't have a whole lot of guys that they can get that kind of flexibility with. They're paying Ndamukong Suh that massive contract. His base salary for this upcoming season is insane, something close to $24 million. And so they were talking. I know a month and a half ago they talked about trying to renegotiate that deal and push some of that base salary back, maybe giving him a signing bonus instead so that they can prorate it over the life of the contract. But nothing else has been said about that. Cameron Wake is making nearly $9 million next year as a 34-year-old player coming off an Achilles injury. There are opportunities potentially for Miami to create enough cap space to try and keep Olivier Vernon, but we'll see if they can actually make those kind of things happen. Is Ndamukong Suh going to be willing to renegotiate that contract? Are they willing to just cut Cameron Wake if it means it gives them a better opportunity to hold on to Olivier Vernon? And just how much is somebody going to be willing to pay Olivier Vernon up front? These are all questions that we still don't know the answer to. I know this morning, Tyler, you sent me a list, and I just want to mention something about this list real quick. NFL.com put up the story with the top 99 available players in free agency, and it's an interesting list given the conversations that we've been having in Jacksonville for the past 2 months when it comes to free agency. Because when you look at this list, they rank them 1 to 99, so this is their order, right? They even categorize it a little bit at the top. With the top 10 players available in free agency, they have them listed as difference makers in free agency. And if you start at the bottom of this list, and stop me when we get to a name that we haven't talked about in Jacksonville yet. At number 10, Janoris Jenkins, who did not get the franchise tag yesterday from St. Louis, or Los Angeles. It'll take me a while to get used to saying Los Angeles again with the Rams. But Janoris Jenkins comes in at number 10. He apparently very upset that he's not the guy who got the franchise tag from the Rams. So it certainly sounds like he's going to be testing free agent waters. Number 9, Danny Trevathan of the Denver Broncos, a guy that has been talked about a little bit here in Jacksonville, as well as the Broncos having to juggle a lot of different players around right now. Number 8, we've certainly talked about this guy plenty, Eric Weddle out of San Diego, the safety, who we heard coming out of the combine, maybe there won't be as much interest. Tony Pauline talked about this a little bit on Draft Insider, that he's hearing there won't be as much interest as many people thought in Eric Weddle. I'll believe that when I see it. Number 7, Mario Williams, who is the focus of our question today. Should the Jags be going after Mario Williams? What kind of push would you make for him, and just what is he worth? Number 6, Jason Pierre-Paul of the New York Giants.
I'll pass.
I'll pass on JPP, too, just because the Giants are so pass rush starved. They got so much money. They obviously know something about that player that, look, the hand affected him last year with the fireworks injury from last July 4th and wasn't the same kind of player. He's still young. He's still a very young player, and apparently NFL.com still feels like he's young and has a good enough career that they put him at number 6 on this list. Number 5, Bruce Irvin out of Seattle. Obviously someone that we've talked about a lot here, as Gus Bradley had the opportunity to coach him. He could come in and be an immediate impact player, a lot of people think, for this Jaguars defense. Number 4, Doug Martin, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers running back, has been discussed as the Jags look for that other side of the 1-2 punch at the running back position. Is Martin going to demand more money than the Jags are willing to spend to get that second running back? Probably, but it still is a discussion that apparently Dave Caldwell was linked to both Martin and Lamar Miller last week while we were out at the combine. Number 3, Kalechi Osemele, the guard out of Baltimore, is somebody that I know Mike has said that he would love to see this team go get, and I think if they can go get somebody like that, you feel like you're good on the offensive line. Do you still have some questions about Luke Jokel? Yeah, but I think in-house, the Jags feel like they're probably going to have to address one of the guard positions, and that they feel like that would solidify their offensive line and maybe help get that run game going. Assimilate could certainly be a consideration for them as free agency starts next week. Number 2, Olivier Vernon. We haven't talked about him at all, have we? Not at all. Haven't spent even 5 seconds talking about the possibility of Olivier Vernon coming to Jacksonville. And number 1, Malik Jackson. Another one of those guys that we just haven't talked about enough as far as a free agent target for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The point being, they can't sign all of them. Right, and there's a reason that they're the main thrust of the conversation that we've been having in Jacksonville about free agency. There's a reason that that's been focused on Malik Jackson and Olivier Vernon, and how about they sign Jackson and Vernon and Weddle, and we'll feel pretty good about what they did in free agency this year. The point being that there's probably a lot of teams, a lot of front offices with some money that feel like if they could sign one of those guys, that it's a really good offseason for them. And there's teams that'll be in free agency that are a lot closer to that championship type level that have money that some of these players may prefer to go play for, which is why we talk about how much more the Jags potentially would have to spend to get those guys to come here compared to everywhere else. The odds of Jacksonville being able to sign, even with all the money they have, the odds of them being able to go out and get Malik Jackson, Olivier Vernon, and Eric Weddle in one free agent class are pretty low, given how much interest there's going to be in all of those guys when free agency gets started here in a week. We'll talk about that. We'll talk specifically about Mario Williams and his availability now on the free agent market as we welcome in John Osher here in just a moment. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday on Jaguars Today. As we continue along, Mike Dempsey already out the door. Fat Tony here with you for the rest of the hour. John Osher will join me next here in studio on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
And with that, we welcome in John Osher, Mike Dempsey out the door, Fat Tony here with you. Mike will be back with us tomorrow as we continue along on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today.
Johnny? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Said, oh, no.
You want to change the name of the segment?
I understand once you get all these songs and all these intros, it's hard to reverse feel from something like that. But I want oh, yeah.
You're tired of the oh, no's?
Or maybe just eh.
Do you feel like we are going oh, no?
Well, yeah.
More of this guy?
If that's true, it's not like the first time I've heard that.
I'm sure it's not as... A ton has happened since we spoke to you yesterday. You came in for about half an hour with Mike and I yesterday, but a ton has happened in the NFL with the deadline for franchise tags yesterday. The biggest news for Jaguars fans is what happened in Miami with Olivier Vernon getting the transition tag. It happened right as Mike and I were going off the air. For you, I guess the big question is, do you think it changes the way the Jags pursue a guy like Olivier Vernon at all in free agency?
I don't, because I think, first of all, I don't think you're only going to go after one defensive lineman, pass rusher type guy. I also think it's fairly clear that there is a level that the Dolphins won't go to match. Because you would think that if they would go higher, they would have just put the franchise tag on.
Right.
And that's sort of where, you know, I think they wanted that option. But it would be surprising if they could match over a certain level. Because, again, if you felt like you could match that certain level, then I would have thought they would have franchised him and guaranteed themselves either him or the picks. So it just it's a curious choice, but I don't think it's going to cause Dave Caldwell, if that's the direction they're going, which we don't know. But if Vernon's one of their guys, I don't think they're sitting back there going, well, we can't do that now.
Yeah, the conversation felt like it was turning towards Miami was going to franchise tag him and try to trade him. Is right. What it sounded like was going to happen, because the transition tag, you're not going to be able to trade that guy under the transition tag. So you're basically allowing another team. If you had enough money, you would be allowing another team to negotiate the contract for you.
Correct.
In some sense. But that's usually something you do with a guy who's not the free agent target. Like, Olivier Vernon is number one or two on a lot of lists when it comes to the free agent targets. He's the number one defensive end among free agent targets this year. Maybe number two on some lists. I know NFL.com, we just talked about that when Malik Jackson was the number one player. You were talking about someone's going to pay him $16, $17 million a year is the way it feels right now.
Correct.
And if you're not willing to do it, there's no reason not to put the franchise tag on him.
Yeah, I think if I'm the Jaguars or a Jaguars fan following this, it's easy to get caught up in the transition tag right now when the reality is the bigger concern are the 15 other teams that want pass rush help.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than the Dolphins' ability to match. That's probably a little overstated. The Dolphins' ability to match is obviously a huge concern, but it's the fact that there are so many teams out there that, you know, everybody's looking for pass rusher and safety help, and so are the Jags. So that's really their bigger concern than Miami matching, I would say.
Yeah, and maybe does the week having to wait, like even if Vernon picks your contract, does the week having to wait affect you at all in the way you'd pursue him?
I don't know that it affects the way you pursue Vernon, but it may affect the way you pursue another pass rusher. Because I think they're gonna go after more than one guy anyway. And it may affect if you're, and I'm just sort of spitballing here. Remember last year when they sort of got in on an odd DeMarco Murray? Mm-hmm. And there were conversations back and forth, and it sort of escalated a bit. Conversations back and forth. Oh, we can get in on this. Okay, we're in. Now that's a little bit too much. We're out. So it might affect that point where you say, okay, we're in. If you knew about Vernon, you may say, okay, we're out on this guy. Since you don't know about Vernon, it may affect how long you stay in on another pass rusher.
Okay.
If those conversations are happening at that point in free agency.
Sure.
But you also get the idea, and I can't speak for Dave Caldwell on this, but you also get the idea that, you know, if they go after Vernon, they're going to have some idea of what that market's going to bear. And I think they'll have an idea of what the Dolphins will match.
Mm-hmm.
Within a pretty good guesstimate of what they can match with their cap, et cetera, et cetera. So they'll have a deeper understanding and be operating from a different place than maybe we will as observers.
Among the pass rushers that could be available to the Jags, the name Mario Williams was added yesterday.
Sure.
A lot of people expected it to be added at some point going into this process, but for sure, he's a free agent now.
Yep.
Anybody can negotiate with him at this point. Do you expect the Jags to be going after a guy like Mario Williams?
I really don't. I haven't heard anything that they are. That doesn't mean they're not. But with Mario, there's a little bit of a situation there of, okay, he's obviously an upgrade from what they had. He's a good player. But is he better than what right now they believe they will be able to go get, I think is the question. And what we don't know is, when Dave Caldwell is looking at his board, he may be very confident that he's going to get or have a very good chance at player XYZ. Well, if you go get Mario Williams, it strikes me it's going to be tougher to go get player XYZ. So that may be a little bit of a factor of, okay, we really don't want to go after Mario Williams because we think we can go get Vernon, or we can go get Hayes, or we can go get, you know. So
you feel like it precludes going after those other guys that sign Williams?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to know what they're going to go after when it starts. So if you're going after that, when it starts, do you go after him now, I guess? And plus, 31 years old, not a great year last year. I think there may be guys that they believe are higher level guys they can go get.
Okay. And I know one of the questions we've had throughout getting ready for free agency, now it's just a week away, has been, it felt a little bit to me like it's kind of an Olivier Vernon or bust
mm-hmm.
deal when it comes to just finding a guy that's going to be the pass rusher that they sign. I think Malik Jackson gives you a little bit of pass rush,
sure.
But he's not a pass rusher. He's an interior
right.
defensive lineman who can play, you know, both of those spots on the
he's
left side of your D-line.
He's disruption who's going to make everything better, but he's not the guy that you saw, you know, nobody is, but he's not Von Miller beating a guy around the edge.
Sure. So we all think the Jags are probably going to be in on Vernon, despite the transition tag, because we thought they were going to be in on him 2 days ago, and that doesn't change anybody's mind on it. If you don't think it's Mario Williams, are they waiting to see secondary pass rushers as far as how that market plays out? Can they afford to wait to see how that's going to work out? Where do you think they do go? If they can't land Vernon, where do they go to try to upgrade the pass rush?
Who's the next guy on the list?
You tell me. Right now, it's probably Mario Williams.
I would say Vernon or Bust in that sense, but I just think it's going to be Mario Williams.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Okay. I know guys like Robert Ayers, who are a bit of the older type
Ayers
guys.
Ayers is a guy I was drawing a blank on. Ayers makes some sense.
Ayers, William Hayes. Those are kind of that second tier of guys. Although, I'm curious with this run of free agency, because usually what happens with those guys is Vernon and Williams are going to get snatched up quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that'll be, if Williams was a guy that was becoming a free agent, it would be free agency opens up at 4 o'clock, and bam, those two guys are getting signed, and you're waiting a couple days to see what happens with a guy like Ayers and Hayes. I'm curious with the climate in the NFL.
I think it'll be a quicker market for those two guys.
Right, because of how desperate teams are to get some kind of pass rush help in, and everybody having all this money. Are there going to be teams out there that are saying, William Hayes is our guy? Like, we're not going to bother with Olivier Vernon. William Hayes is our guy, and are those guys going to get snatched up quicker than they usually do?
I believe they'll get snatched up very quickly. I believe you'll go 4 or 5 pass rushers deep, and there'll be people raising eyebrows saying, what are teams doing? Because you haven't heard of these other guys. There's, you know, so I think it'll be a quicker market for that. I think it'll get attributed a lot to the Super Bowl, because now the thing at the combine was everybody wants to be Denver.
Yeah.
But I think it would have happened anyway because pass rush.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody wants it. Everybody wants to affect the opposing quarterback. And it's a really effective way to win games. It's not just the Super Bowl. It's,
right.
It's been shown. It's a time-proven method
right.
To win football games.
But
is
I also
go get
think
the QB.
That's why other positions on the defensive front make sense as well, because it doesn't necessarily all have to be edge. You know, the Broncos showed that as well. They were very, very effective on the interior. And if you can get better inside as well, you can affect things as well.
Sure. A week out, before we let you go, John, the two major free agents when it comes to...
And let's not forget Bruce Irvin.
No.
I mean,
certainly potentially here.
Because he's not, quote, Leo, a pure edge guy. He's not mentioned with Williams, but the same kind of thing. Disruption up front coming at you in waves, it doesn't have to come off of the left end wide nine position.
Right. We talked a little bit about corner with
right
you yesterday,
end,
and that certainly hadn't changed. We just know that Janoris Jenkins is going to be the free agent coming out of the Rams, so certainly you would think the Jags have some interest in some corner in free agency.
I think as deep as corner is in free agency, and it certainly, I mean, you say deep in free agency, it's all relative because free agency usually doesn't go that deep. It doesn't go as deep as the names are shiny, if you will.
Sure.
But I think they're, as with 3 or 4 guys on the market who look pretty good, I would be surprised if the Jaguars are in heavily and sign a corner.
What about free safety? With Weddle and Gibson being the two names that you hear, and those would be the two that would be clear upgrades for them. Other than that, you're kind of signing the same kind of guys you have here now playing that position. Do you think they're in on either or both of those guys?
Yeah, I think they'll be in on them because I really believe that Dave's approach with the draft, picking at number 5, I don't know that you would have the same approach in free agency if you were picking number 2. But picking number 5, excuse me, I'm choking on myself. picking number 5, you don't have quite the assurance that this guy that you think you can plug in will absolutely be there. And I'm thinking of Jalen Ramsey or Boza, whoever they're thinking of as this is the player we want in the draft. Well, if you were picking number 2 and you were sure that the Titans were going to take Tunsil and you're going to have your pick,
sure.
Then you could say, you know what, don't worry about free safety. We're going to take Jalen Ramsey.
It was like last year at 3. It was pretty clear the quarterbacks were going 1 and 2.
Right, so they had their pick, so they didn't worry about edge rusher. They drafted Fowler, or they didn't worry about that position. They drafted Fowler, assuming he was going to be there. He wasn't there. That's what happened. Well, that's why I think they go after some level. If they don't get Weddle, I think they will, or Weddle or Gibson or whoever they like best, I think they will still go after some level of what they perceive as an upgraded safety so that if you don't get Ramsey, you're not stuck with, whoops, here we are again for
right.
the X year in a row, not having a guy we feel comfortable with. Same thing with pass rusher. I think they go after, they try to fill those needs. And I'm not breaking any news here. Dave Caldwell talks about that all the time. We want to fill our needs in the draft, I mean, in free agency as much as possible, so that when we get to the draft, we're not picking as blatantly and glaringly for need, which is where you get in trouble. Because this year, you don't want to get left, especially at free safety, holding the bag with nothing. I don't think that situation will happen in pass rush, because they're going to go get, as he said on the radio,
they
clearly want that influx. So there's going to be more than one guy coming in. And they feel like anyway, even if they don't get the influx, Fowler and Marks coming back is going to help that area. I don't think they want to be in a situation where they don't feel like there's an upgrade somewhere at free safety.
That's John Osher, kind enough to join us here. I know we'll talk to you at least once again later this week, as we have just 1 week left to put together this free agency puzzle. It becomes a little more clear after yesterday's news with all the franchise tags, Mario Williams becoming a free agent now. So it's a little clearer as far as the Jags' ability to go after some of these guys, Olivier Vernon specifically, but we have 1 week left until it really gets going.
Can't wait.
And the big splash, we all expect some kind of big splash when it opens up from the Jags. Who that splash is going to be, still a little bit unclear. But the
question is, will it be a GM's version of a splash or a fan's version of a splash?
I hope.
And sometimes the twain do not meet.
I hope it meets this year. As a guy who does talks on the radio, I hope the two meet.
I do too. It'd be fun.
Yeah, it definitely would be. That's John Osher. He'll join us again. I think we'll see you here on Friday.
Look forward to it,
buddy. Talk a little Jaguars football. Thanks for stopping by. We'll get to the fan feedback spotlight here in just a moment. Tom Bush Motors asking today, now that he's a free agent, should the Jags go out and try to sign defensive end Mario Williams? We'll get to some of your answers to that question on the other side as we continue along on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Bortles ready to go out of the shotgun. Bills rush four. Bortles standing in the pocket. In trouble, he is sacked. He is brought down back at the 12-yard line. Mario Williams collapsed the pocket and brought him down a loss of 5 yards.
One of the disappointing 5 sacks for Mario Williams last year in a Buffalo Bills uniform. A guy that had combined for 38 sacks the 3 years before that with Buffalo, but just not happy with what his role was in that Buffalo defense, and unhappy enough about it that he's gotten his ticket out of there. So Mario Williams has been released by the Buffalo Bills, now a free agent. And our question of the day, the Tom Bush Motors question of the day, the fan feedback spotlight, we ask you everyday Jaguars fans, what drives you? Today we ask, now that he is a free agent, should the Jags go all out to try and sign defensive end Mario Williams, who's approaching 100 career sacks? Some of the answers we got on Twitter today from Chef Jags. He should be on a plane heading to Jacksonville right now. I think there was a 7-10 out of Buffalo this morning from Daniel. Definitely he's worth the risk because he's got something left in the tank. From Eric, yes, try a 3-year deal because he's going to play hard the first and second year, then draft a replacement. He said, as a follow-up, go after all of them. Vernon, too. Williams, Vernon, Fowler would be a nice rotation. From Duval Doom, no, I feel better about it with a multi-prong approach. Vernon Jackson, fifth pick, etc. Now, if he can be part of that, From Stoff Prime, yes, do a low cap hit, high incentive-laden deal, and all he has to do is kill the other team's quarterback. From Black Dog, don't trust Mario Williams to go all in with Jags, lacking on the field, lacking in the locker room. I'll pass. And from Isaiah, I would, just doesn't fit what Gus wants. I guess as far as just your typical Leo or whatever. But Gus has talked before about, you know, the Leo doesn't have to be this size. It's just the guy that can rush the passer. Mario Williams certainly fits the bill as a guy that can rush the passer in this league. I think there are questions that have to be seriously asked about why he's leaving Buffalo.
And that's kind of what Caldwell said, too. Pretty sure he said something along the lines of, why are guys becoming free agents? You have to look into why they're hitting the market.
No, he's definitely talked about that. And like last year with Julius Thomas, that was a guy that Denver just got squeezed a little bit and couldn't afford the kind of number that Julius Thomas was going to demand on the open market. So Julius Thomas became a free agent. You look at, they're dealing with the same situation this year with Von Miller having the kind of year that he had and them not being able to work out the deal that they needed to before they get to the point where they have to put the franchise tag on him. And now they're still trying to negotiate that contract. Well, that means they're up in the air with, guys like Malik Jackson and Danny Trevathan and Brock Osweiler, all guys that you feel like Denver would like to be able to hang on to, but their priority is Von Miller. And so those guys are going to eventually hit free agency because of the priority they have with Von Miller. The question guys this year are Mario Williams. Why isn't he in Buffalo as productive a player as he was for his first 3 years there? Why isn't he there in Buffalo? And Jason Pierre-Paul, why isn't he a Giant? Just with his athleticism and the demand for pass rush in this league, the Giants letting a guy that young, that has been that dominant at times in his career go, you have to ask why. And I think if you get the right kind of answers, or you feel like you're getting the right kind of answers for that type of guy, then certainly he's worth it. And Mike and I talked about it early in the show. If you told me the Jags could sign Mario Williams for 3 years and $30 million right now, I'd take it. I'd take it. Now, again, this is one of those situations where my job isn't on the line. You know, it's not my job. It's not my money. I'm just the guy who talks about the team. So it's a lot easier for me to say I would sign him to that kind of deal than it is for Dave Caldwell, who has all the behind-the-scenes information and maybe is a little more educated on exactly why Mario Williams isn't going to be in Buffalo anymore. And I think those questions are questions that you seriously have to consider. It's, why is he out of Buffalo? How much money does Mario Williams really want as a free agent in this market, where Olivier Vernon sounds like he could get something in the neighborhood of $16, $17 million a year? Yes, Olivier Vernon could be getting that. Malik Jackson, as one of these interior guys, young player, could be getting something in the neighborhood of $13, $14 million a year. That's where many people expect his contract to wind up when everything is said and done. So if those guys are going to get that, Mario Williams is standing there saying, I was a 14.5 sack guy when I was happy rushing the passer. You know, I'm a guy who has 96 career sacks. What have these other guys done in comparison to me, and how much money does he really want? And does he fit? Is he going to be happy with the scheme that you have? Because that seems to be the big questions coming out of why he's out of Buffalo. Is he happy? And if you're not going to make Mario happy, is he going to give you full effort? It certainly seems like to this point in his career, the answer to that is no. That if you're not going to let him just do what he wants to do as the former number one overall draft pick, that he's going to be kind of a baby about it and get himself out the door in whatever city that happens to be. This is twice now he's done this. So I think there are some questions about those kind of issues. Again, if you told me I could sign him for 3 years, $30 million, I'd do it. I'd do it because of the type of pass rusher he could be, because all I would ask him to do is rush the passer. I'm not sure if the Jaguars feel the same way. And we'll find out if they do or not. And it's interesting when you talk about what these other guys are expected to get paid. A lot of conversation about Olivier Vernon and the $16, $17 million potentially a year that he could demand on the free agent market, and the potential that that opens up for fans at the end of next season with whatever team he signs with. But say it is here in Jacksonville. Say Olivier Vernon comes and has the exact same numbers that he had this year. Right? He comes out of Miami. They pay him all that money to get him out of Miami on that transition tag. He comes to Jacksonville, and at the end of the year, he has 7.5 sacks and 41 tackles. I think fans would be upset. I think that there's a portion of the fan base that would say that Dave Caldwell is wasting the Jaguars' money going out and getting that guy. Well, that's what it costs to go get that guy, and if he upgrades your pass rush, is there really a price that you put on that? If he makes you better rushing the passer, and he's the option available to you in free agency that you feel like makes you the best, like improves you the most when it comes to probably the weakest part of your roster right now, is that not worth $16, $17 million even if you're overpaying to get it? For me, it is. And the other guy is Malik Jackson, who say they pay him $13 million a year, right? Say the Jags sign Malik Jackson for $13 million a year, which is right around the number he's expected to be. To give you an idea of what that would mean here in Jacksonville, that is more. $13 million a year is more than the Jags are currently paying Audric and Cedric Marks combined per year. Cindric Marks is getting right around $3.5 million a year right now. Jared Audrick signed last offseason. He's right around $8.5 million a year right now. If they sign Malik Jackson for $13 million a year, he would be getting paid more than those other two guys combined. And I wouldn't blink if the Jaguars were to make that type of deal. Now, what happens in that locker room when Malik Jackson comes in and everybody knows what everyone else gets paid? Believe me, they all know what everyone else gets paid. I think the dynamic here in Jacksonville would be fine, but we haven't seen that kind of number come in yet. Not that kind of number on the defensive side of the ball. It's what you have to pay to go get those types of guys. But that would be the situation they're putting themselves in. Just to put it in perspective, what this money actually is that you're talking about with these guys. And the Jags are in a position where they can afford to spend that kind of money to go get those types of players if they want to. But that is the reality of it, is that they'd be paying Malik Jackson more than they're paying the other two guys in those two spots that he'd be rotating between combined. And again, I'd have no issue with that. I don't get the sense that Cindric would have any issue with that or that Jared Audrick would have any issue with that, but nobody knows for sure, and maybe that's part of the process here too, but the Jags certainly do have a ton of cap space to spend. They have the opportunity to go out there and get whoever they want as a big splash. We'll see exactly what Dave Caldwell considers a big splash, as John Osher said, and maybe what the fans consider a big splash are two different things. I would love for the two to be the same thing when we get to next Wednesday, and we're really seeing what's happening with NFL free agency opening up. That'll do it for us today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey leaving about an hour ago, but for Mike, for myself, Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for John Osher, for JP Shadrick, who joined us earlier in the show as well, that'll do it for a Metro Rooter Wednesday. We'll welcome in the boys of XL Primetime next here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flap.
Woo! That's great job!